Tonight, I preach on the subject, perfect love casteth out fear. And I want to talk to you about fear tonight. Fear is a natural part of life. We can't avoid it. You can't stop it from coming. We simply have to learn how to deal with it. And the Bible tells us how to do that. In fact, Helen Rainey told me one time, she had made a list. She said, "Pastor, I've written down over 365 fear nots in the Bible." She said, "That means there's one for every single day." I said, "Well, that's good." And so fear's going to come. Now, how we handle it will make a difference in our life. If we don't handle it right, it'll cause us to fail in certain situations. But if we handle it right, it'll help us grow. Fear comes throughout our lives. I mean, it starts when, you know, we're a little kid and we may be fear of the dark or maybe fear of being left alone. I was just thinking about it. I think Harry told me a story one time, Marlene. You'll have to verify that this is right, that you guys were camping, and I know it was you four, you and Harry and the twins here, and you got up with Carol and went somewhere and left and to the hospital. Kelly was left alone. Didn't she think that the rapture had occurred too and she was left? Am I telling that right? Okay, good. Yeah. Now you know in the rapture the bacon's going with us, right? But fear, it comes in different ways. Like when we're a little kid, we might be afraid of the dark. We might be afraid of being alone. We get older and we get afraid of illnesses that come into our life, or surgeries that we have to face. We have a fear that we're going to lose those that we love. We have a fear that when we get a new responsibility, either at church or in our job, we might have a fear of that. We have a fear that we might be overlooked or rejected. And I could go on. It's just, my point is, in introduction, is that fear is a part of life. Now, tonight, I can't tell you how to stop it from coming, because it's going to come. It's part of our life, but I want to tell you how to handle it. And I want to do that by talking about four different kinds of fear. And I want to go to the Word of God, and I want to mention to you people that exhibited these four kinds of fears. And then I'll get to the last point, and you know where I'm going when I get to the last point, because we read there from 1 John that perfect love does cast out fear. So the first kind of fear I'll mention to you tonight is paralyzing fear. Fear that paralyzes us and keeps us from acting. We see an illustration of that in Luke chapter 19. Jesus told a parable. A master was going on a journey, and he called 10 of his servants in and said, "Hey, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to give each of you a pound." A pound was about 3 months' salary. Back in that day. And he says, "I want you to occupy till I return." Now, what he was saying is, I want you to use my money, this pound that I'm leaving you, and I want you to do business with it. And when I come back, I'm going to take an account of how you've done. Now, we don't get the results from all 10 in this particular parable. We get the results of 3 of them. The first one came, and as his master asked for an accounting, he said, "Master, I've used the pound that you've given to me, and I've earned 10. I've earned 10. And the master said, "Well done, I'm going to make you ruler over 10 cities. The second servant came and said, "Master, you left me one, I've turned it into 5. And the master said, "Well done, I'm going to make you ruler over 5 cities. Now, let me read about the third one. And another came saying, "Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a steward man, that takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow." And so this servant said, "Hey, I was afraid. I know what kind of man you are. I know how you get results. And I was afraid that I would lose your money and have nothing to show for it. And here's what the master said. And he saith unto him, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant." Now, stop for a minute. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is fear. So here was a man that feared his master, but it was the wrong kind of fear. It was a fear that paralyzed him. "Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Now, not part of my sermon, but see, our society says to do just the opposite. Our society says, take the money from them that work and give it to them that don't work. Here's the master that said, oh, no, no, we're not going to do it that way. Take the money from him that didn't work and give it to the guy that worked and turned it in to 10 pounds. Paralyzing fear says, I'm afraid I can't do it. I'm afraid I can't produce. I'm afraid I can't live up to expectations, so I'm not going to try. And the master said, well, why didn't you at least take my money, put it in the bank, so that when I got back, I'd have it back with interest? And the man says, I was too afraid. I didn't even want to do that. Maybe the bank would go out of business. Maybe the bank would go bankrupt, and I'd lose your money and have nothing to show for it. Too many Christians today have this kind of fear. They're afraid they can't be a good husband, so they don't try. They're afraid they can't be a good wife, so they don't try. They're afraid they can't be a good parent, so they don't try. They're afraid they can't live up to people's expectations. And by the way, we don't have to live up to people's expectations. We need to live up to the Lord's expectations. He never gives us anything without giving us the ability to do it. God will never ask you to do anything that he knows that you can't do. The things he asks us to do are things that we can do if we trust him. Paralyzing fear comes from Satan. He comes and says, look, you can't do it. If you try, you're going to fail. If you try, you're just going to make a fool out of yourself. It's better to just lay back, not try. And paralyzing fear is an emotion of a lazy person. The Bible says it's wicked to be lazy. Proverbs 22:13, the slothful man said, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. In Proverbs 26, the slothful man said, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. And as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The lazy person has paralyzing fear. There's lions in the streets. If I go out into the streets, I'm going to be killed. I'm not going to go out and try anything. I'm just going to stay in my house, stay in my bed, like that last verse said. And I'm not going to go outside, because if I go outside, I'm going to be killed. And God says, you wicked, lazy servant, it's better that you go out and die trying than to let paralyzing fear keep you from trying at all. And too many Christians are afraid to do what God wants them to do, made them to do, equips them to do, because they let fear control their decisions. They let fear control their decisions. Some boys are so afraid to ask out a girl that they never go on a date, and that they die lonely, sad, and depressed. Now, some of you might say, no, preacher, they die happy and rich. I'm not telling you where I come down on that. I come down on the getting married side. So don't let fear keep you from asking at the right time when God leads you. Don't get ahead of God. But don't let fear keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Paralyzing fear ought not to make our choices for us. We ought to decide tonight, we will not let fear make our decisions. So, paralyzing fear. Second one I'll mention to you tonight is panic fear. Panic fear. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Number one weapon that Satan uses against God's people is panic fear. He jumps out and he roars. Rawr! And we get scared. And instead of doing what God wants us to do, we jump out of his will into sin. Now, let me tell you a story I read about a missionary. He went to Africa. And he went with a native guide, and he went out to the Serengeti. It was a vast grasslands. And so in this grasslands, there were lions, and there were tigers, and there were antelopes. Now, the antelopes ate grass, but the lions and the tigers ate the antelopes. And the native said to the missionary, "I want to show you how the food chain works." And so they went out, and they saw a herd of antelopes. There were thousands of these antelopes. And they heard a roar. Arr! It was a lion. A lion. And the guide said, "Now, we're just going to stand here and watch what happens." And the missionary said, No, I think we should leave. I hear the lion roaring. He's going to come and get us. I want to leave. Which way should I go? Should I go the way that the antelopes are running? I mean, they're running away from the roar. Should I go in that direction?" And the guy said, No. That's the absolute wrong direction to go. Let me show you." And so they waited about 15, 20 minutes, and then they walked in the direction that the antelopes had run, and they saw four or five young lions devouring an antelope they had killed. And the guide said, "The rule of the jungle is that you don't run away from the roar, you run toward the roar." Because here's how it works. An old lion that doesn't have any teeth left, who has lost his claws, will get on one side of a herd of antelopes, and he can still roar. Arr! The antelopes, in fear of that roar, run in the opposite direction. Well, in the opposite direction are all the young lions waiting for the antelope to run into their trap. At the cross, at the tomb, the empty tomb, the old lion called Satan was detoothed and declawed. Amen? He lost all his power. No more teeth, no more claws. The only thing that he can do is roar. The only thing he can do is roar. That's all that he can do. He can't bite. He can't claw. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The only weapon that Satan has left is his roar. That verse said, "Submit yourself therefore to God." Oh, no. That verse said, I've got it here. That verse said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion." Doesn't say a biting lion. Doesn't say a clawing lion. It says a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so when Satan roars, too many times we panic. And when we panic, instead of doing what God wants us to do, we run into sin to hide from the roar. D.L. Moody said, now D.L. Moody was a preacher in Chicago. He was a shoe salesman. His Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, went to the shoe store one day and led him to Christ. And D.L. Moody said one time, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man completely sold out to him." He heard somebody say that. And D.L. Moody said, "I want to be that man. I want to completely sell out to God." He was a pastor in Chicago. He did a strange thing. On Sunday mornings, he would get a wagon. He lived back, they didn't have buses back in his day. He would get a wagon, and he'd go around to the neighborhoods where the slums were in Chicago, and he would take pieces of candy, and he would bribe children to come to Sunday school. Can you imagine that, Brother Clyde? He would bribe them with candy to come to Sunday. He would pick up hundreds of kids. And you know about the Moody Church in Chicago. Even today, it's still a big church. He started a college, all sorts of things. Here's what he said. He said one time, "Sin is man's attempt to hide from sin. Man runs into sin, scared he might do something stupid. So to keep from doing something stupid, he does something stupider." Now, he wasn't an educated man. He talked like me. Once he realizes he's done something stupid, he runs somewhere else and does something stupid to keep from doing something stupider. And Moody said, we get panicked when we hear the roar, and instead of running, we ought to realize that that's the only weapon that Satan's got left. And so Peter says, who resists steadfast in the faith, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We used to sing that little song. Resist Satan, he will flee, he cannot defeat you. When you quote the Bible, he will leave. Jesus exhibited that for us when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He just said, he quoted the Bible. So, when you hear Satan roar, just remember, he's just roaring. He can't bite you. He can't claw you. Just tell him, hey, shut up. You can't scare me. You got no weapons against me. Paralyzing fear is not good. Panic fear is not good. Now, let me talk to you about the fourth one. Productive fear. This is better than the first two. We read about a man who had productive fear in the book of Hebrews. Again, from Hebrews chapter 11. Going back to the book of Genesis. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. It was a fear that motivated Noah to act. It was a fear that motivated Noah to be productive. The Bible does say in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear inspires us to think. Fear, if it's used right, will drive us to do something productive. I fear that I'm going to disappoint my parents, so I keep being a good kid. I fear that I'm going to disappoint somebody else in my life. And so I'm going to keep going, doing what I need to do. I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint God. So I keep serving. I keep doing what he's called me to do. And so you might say this kind of fear is running scared. It's a good way to run, because you're running in the will of God. I'd rather run scared and do something for God than to have paralyzing fear and do nothing, or to have panic fear and run into sin. So productive fear, it's a good fear. But it's not the best kind of fear. The best kind of fear is perfected fear. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. That word perfect means mature. It means whole. It doesn't mean without fault or without error. It means mature. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, all fear is some kind of bondage. It traps us, and we have torments in that fear. Satan holds us when we have paralyzing fear. Satan holds us when we have panic fear. Even in productive fear, our growth is stunted. Because the only reason we keep doing things is because we're afraid. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the conclusion of it. We start with fear. We start with that awe of God. We start that with that respect of God. And we learn and we grow. But we don't end at the same place. What fear starts, love completes. It perfects it. It makes it whole. The only man who did not run in panic fear at the crucifixion was the answer to the Bible quiz this morning. The disciple that Jesus loved. He stood at the foot of the cross, the Apostle John. And Jesus was able to say to him, John, he didn't say it in these words, but this is what he was saying, John, I want you to take care of my mom after I'm gone. Please take care of him. Please take care of her. Now, All the other disciples weren't there. Why was John? Why was John? Because John knew that the one on the cross loved him. And perfect love casteth out fear. I'm convinced that this is where we need to get. That we need to again, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But don't stop there. Perfect love casteth out fear. I've told you before, when I was growing up, I was afraid of my dad. I respected him, but I knew that if I broke one of his rules, I was going to get punished. And I had my share, Devin, I had my share of punishment when I was growing up. You may think your preacher never made a mistake, but he made a lot of them. And I'm glad I had a dad that straightened me out. One day, I realized that my dad loved me. And he only wanted the best for me. And I quit doing right because I was afraid of him. I was afraid I was going to disappoint him if I didn't keep doing right. I was afraid that, you know, I was going to show disrespect. And I was afraid. But when I realized that he loved me, I quit acting out of fear and I started acting right because I knew he loved me and I loved him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, not the end, the beginning of wisdom. And when you are convinced, and again, I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, so I don't have to work hard to convince you of this, but when you are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you and that God wants the very best for you, you will quit operating in fear and operate in love. I'm glad we have a God that loves us. And I'm glad that perfect love casteth out fear. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. I pray, Holy Spirit, as I've spoke, that you've spoken to our hearts and you've spoken to our minds, you've spoken to our souls. Fear is a natural part of life. We can't get rid of it. But it shouldn't paralyze us. It shouldn't cause us to panic. And Father, if we're operating in that productive fear where we're doing things for you because we're afraid, I pray we get to that point where we do things for you because we know you love us and we love you. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never received Christ as their Savior, oh, what a day to do it. Easter Sunday of 2019. What a wonderful day to see your sin and know that Jesus paid for him. And come to him and receive the gift of salvation that he offers to every person. So I pray, Father, if even just one here tonight that's never done that, that they would come in just a moment and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.